In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning, welcome in. It's Saturday Suckage on the Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Let's take roll. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you got to embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh, my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan. Steph Curry.
We suck tonight.
Terry Bors.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning 33.
St. John.
Sucks to me.
Ross Perot.
There will be a jam sucking sound going south.
Devin McCourty.
Sucks to end the season that way.
Nick Chubb.
One of the things that stuck to us when he came here, he said, you know, you got to embrace the suck.
Pat McAfee.
There are some commentators that suck out there.
Nicholas Ehlers.
Not a fun morning. It sucks.
Chris Ballard.
And now we lose these last two games and we just suck.
Giannis.
We suck. Play bad. They made shots. They played good. They played better than us.
Mark Grody.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
You and me, Trash Panda.
Bueller.
Adam Studzinski is here, our Trash Bandit producer. Grody is, okay, I don't know where Grody is. I'm just telling you this, that we tweeted stuff out. We were in the missing Mark Grody found formation, and he liked the tweets and then responded when I said WTF. And
so he's
then
awake.
He responded, and it was like, dude!
So he is awake. We can confirm he's awake. He's not working today, though.
And he's telling us, he said, he tweeted out, shh. And it's like, is that to keep Dave the Cat from going crazy? Because Dave the Cat's circadian rhythms are probably all screwed up with the life that he's living. They score overnight stuff.
Cats are mainly nocturnal, I thought, though, anyway. Like, my cats tend to be. They sleep, well, they sleep at all hours of the day. But, or maybe, you know, maybe actually they're not actually, because what they do is I've noticed they've adjusted their sleeping schedule to my girlfriend's schedule. They sleep, they get up in the morning, they annoy the hell out of both of us so they can get fed. Then they go to sleep. We both go to work, get back around 10 or 11 at night. They then start to be active again, and then everyone goes to sleep and the whole cycle starts over. So yeah, maybe Dave is trying to adjust to Grody's new schedule of being up all night and he's not happy about it.
Dave tended to leave when Grody would show up for Saturday Suckage. It is his show. He should be on this show. He's not on this show. But when Grody did show up, Mark said that Dave the Cat would go find some place to hide, or presumably some soundproof area. He didn't have to listen to the show. So now his world is turned upside down, and so is ours. And Grody's not here, but we will be doing later on. We have what a wonderful show we have planned. It won't go off this way, but what a wonderful show we have planned. We'll still do what Mark heard. Because what Mark heard on his score overnight shift as grobber with training wheels was really special. And then just to show how high the bar is set, for score overnight listeners, for former grobber listeners, nobody was on from the score, and there were still angry texts coming in. We will get to that later.
That was an astounding text that I saw when I came in this morning. So we'll get into it, but it was phenomenal.
So we will do that. There is a planned show that includes Cam Ellis of Odyssey Sports, the man about the Midwest, bon vivant, and public relations advisor to Rocky Wirtz. And he'll be here at 11:40 to talk Bears. They introduced their coordinators. Nobody really wants to talk about the quarterback. Why is that? And the defensive coordinator is just talking about what great athletes he has, except not at any of the three positions that are key for the cover two defense that Matt Eberflus wants to play. We'll discuss that with Cam Ellis at 12:20. The Cubs want more money from you. The minor leaguers want more money, and they're getting nothing. You'll get nothing and like it. That's what major league owners are telling minor leaguers. We'll discuss that with Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. And at 1 o'clock, Danny Parkins. We have the Wake and Bake Club, and this is where the Wake and Bake Club meets the Bet and Go Club. Danny will be hosting a playoff preview show tomorrow on the Score at 11 o'clock. Score's coverage of Super Bowl Sunday starts at 9 with BetQL, 9 to 11. Danny Parkins, 11 to 1, his playoff preview special. Westwood One takes it from 1 o'clock until Evan McPherson kicks the game-winning field goal. And that'll be that.
Oh, is that your prediction?
Oh, yeah.
We got to get into our predictions later before the show ends.
Well, I'll tell you right now, because it's not, and maybe you can help me here. Anyways, Parkins will be here at 1 because we got a whole bunch of bets.
I can explain to you why I think the Bengals are one of the more fraudulent Super Bowl teams in recent memory.
Bring it. Let's go.
You want to do this right now?
Yeah. What are we saving it for?
That's true. What else do we have to talk about? So you look at the run that they've made in the Super Bowl, and first of all, their defense is it. They maybe I'm making this argument because my brain, when it sees something that doesn't make sense logically, tends to freak out a little bit and try to find reasons why this is happening.
Well, but that's a good thing.
And well, yes, it is, I guess. But so I look at the Bengals and I see them I see the team they were when the Bears beat them, beat their brains out early in the season. And I know that was a long time ago, but largely the same roster, and Joe Burrow is playing better since then. But you look at the run that they've made in the playoffs, and you look at the team that the Bengals actually are. They have a terrible offensive line, and the fact that a team with this bad of an offensive line is playing in the Super Bowl makes zero sense to me and never will. They also have an average at best defense, if we can call it that. I mean, they played their secondary, I will say, played astounding football in the second half against the Chiefs. However, the Chiefs, and I'll get into this in a second, the Chiefs played some of the worst football I've ever seen them play, the combination of Andy Reid's play calling and Patrick Mahomes in the last couple of years. So you look at those
you
facts.
You don't think the Bengals had anything to do with
they did.
Those decisions made by Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Well, like I said, their Bengals secondary played astounding in the second half of that game, and I do give them credit for that. However, the game should have been 28-10 at halftime. I don't understand what the hell that play call was.
You're doing the whole woulda, coulda, shoulda thing. You should bet horses.
It should have been 28-10.
Right, and the San Francisco 49ers should have been in the Super Bowl, but Jaquaski Tartt dropped the interception.
That's true.
Okay, it didn't happen.
But no, you look at, you look at the entirety of the run the Bengals have made, okay? They beat the Raiders, who are okay. They were in the playoffs, but they're fine.
They were as remarkable a comeback story as the Bengals.
That's true.
I mean, here's what you have to understand. The reason to pick the Bengals is because every team that lost to Matt Nagy won the Super Bowl. That's what happened last year.
That's true.
Tom Brady couldn't count, and he won the Super Bowl, and now he counts to 7. And the Bengals lost to Matt Nagy. There's nothing more embarrassing than that, and so the Bengals are winning the Super Bowl. But you go ahead and continue with all your woulda, coulda, shouldas, and somewhere in there is a point.
Well, I'm making the point, and that's that I don't think the Bengals are... I guess I'm making the point that I don't understand how a team who I don't think is actually that good managed to get to this point. And then I look at the run they made in the playoffs, and again, they beat the Raiders, who were okay at best. They were a playoff team.
TWTW.
Okay, yes, fine. They beat the Titans. They beat Ryan Tannehill. Cool, good for you. And then they beat the Chiefs.
They beat the coach of the year in Tennessee, by the way.
Yeah, and they also had Ryan Tannehill not being able to put up points.
And they got their kicker warming up on the sidelines for that kick. And
after Ryan Tannehill threw an atrocious interception.
Some teams make the plays and some teams like the 49ers don't. And
that's fair.
And then Evan McPherson turns to Joe Burrow and says, well, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship game. And Joe Burrow says, okay, I'll walk into the locker room.
And the Bengals do have that 2015-16 Cubs aura about them where they shouldn't be in this situation, but they're too young and inexperienced to understand that they shouldn't be in these situations. And so the moment doesn't feel as big as it probably should be to them. And so anyway, and then we talked about the Chiefs game, and like Patrick Mahomes had 6 of the worst plays he's ever had in the NFL in 2 goal line stands. The one where they tied the game at the end, and then the Bengals went down and won it, right? Mm-hmm. And then the one at the end of the first half, where they threw the ball sideways to Tariq Hill with no timeouts left, which is just inexplicable and inexcusable.
Okay.
So my point is that
we should be thanking
they've kind of gotten through the playoffs somehow, some way. And then I look and I explain how they've done it. And then I reach the conclusion that based on this, I think they're fraudulent and I think that they're going to get blown out tomorrow.
Okay. Entirely possible, because it's a Super Bowl, and Super Bowls, we do have the DNA of a blowout is there. So I was contemplating this morning and not knowing. If Joe Burrow, first of all, Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and stood up every time and won the game.
That's another thing. You get sacked 9 times and win a playoff game. It's just, TWTW, okay, but Ryan Tannehill put up 16 points, which is why they weren't able to win. Which is why they were in position to win the game in the first place. The Bengals were.
Okay. Let me run a couple other things by you. with this. He's Adam Stutzle. He's Trash Panda. We're in the Missing Mark Grody Foundation formation sure. today. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. So in contemplating this today, I didn't know if I was watching Joe Burrow, Evan McPherson, if I was watching a latter-day version of Joe Namath. Massive underdogs, confident as hell. There's nobody, when the kicker's mouth becomes the story, because he's as spot on as his leg is, and he's a rookie, and you go, oh my God. I mean, Kevin Butler was like, he would grow to be like that, but never had this kind of, not the cockiness I've seen reported from Evan McPherson, and he backs it up with every kick. And Joe Burrow is, I don't know, can you explain the shiesty thing? That's a skeevy kind of word. So why is he Joe Shiesty? Why are they?
This is the first time hearing this.
All right, let's move right along.
I thought it was just
I'll talk
cool.
to one of the popular games. That's Joe Montana. Okay. So I don't know whether I'm watching Joe Namath and a team that just keeps coming and very confident, and hey, you can underrate us all you want, and then he and his fur coat run off the field, and in this case it would be Joe Burrow and his cigar run off the field, champions. Or, and I covered this game, I watched the San Diego Chargers. A team, you know, in San Diego, nice weather, it's either 68 or it's 72. And they have their pastel colors. They took their pastel colors and the moon-faced quarterback, Stan Humphries, to the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh. No, check that, in Blitzburgh, where Bill Cowher's jaw could seat a family of four. And it's snowing in Blitzburgh. No, wait, it's snowing sideways. It's not just coming down, it's going sideways. And here is this team from the great surfing capital of the world, San Diego. And here's Neil O'Donnell, and he has the Steelers down and goal, 1 yard away from getting to the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, little known, quickly forgotten, Dennis Gibson leaps over a Steeler, makes a play, knocks down the pass. A stunned Three River Stadium cannot believe the Steelers just lost to that team from San Diego. And then moon-faced Stan Humphries and his pastel-laden Chargers showed up at the Super Bowl. And on the first play, Steve Young to Jerry Rice for the first of six touchdown passes.
See, exactly.
I think we might be reliving both. And I just did. I don't know what I'm watching. But well, I'm rooting for the story. And here's something else. Here is something else that you cannot forget being in Chicago the way you are. I have my one Super Bowl prediction is this. In the fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford, the former Detroit Lion, is going to throw a game-turning interception. Super Bowl prediction.
That's definitely an X factor in this game, is that we're looking at former Lions quarterback Matt Stafford, who we know from, like you mentioned, we've seen it how many times in the last 10 years, him throw just the back-breaking interception, whether it's on Thanksgiving a few years ago in 2018 when he threw the one of the worst pick sixes you're ever going to see to Eddie Jackson.
He tried to throw it to Jaquiski Tartt, a former Bear, by the way.
And he threw it to Eddie Jackson instead.
Yeah.
And then threw a pick in the end zone on the next drive. So, I mean, we've seen this so many times, and we haven't seen it yet in the playoffs.
He tried against the Niners. I'm telling you, it was right there.
Yeah, it was right there. You're right. He tried his best. And I remember seeing that play and thinking, that is the demons being exercised. Like, I knew in that moment, okay, they're going to win the game, because that right there is the ball that usually gets caught by the other team against Matt Stafford and ends the game, because it's what we see Matt Stafford do. And
exactly.
In that moment, and then finally it didn't happen. It didn't happen. The universe finally gave him a break and said, you know what, kid? We'll let you have this one.
But okay,
maybe
let me catch up with him. Then what's the difference between a guy who is insistent on throwing the fourth quarter interception that breaks your team's heart and Joe Burrow getting sacked nine times? I mean, there's the same death wish in both cases. So both guys are here. Both teams are here. The idea of Matthew Stafford winning a Super Bowl is pretty outrageous to me. Having seen him for so many years. Now, I realize Cooper Kupp is an MVP candidate and Sean McVay is in now his second Super Bowl. He's likely to be calmer. And everything is going for them, especially Aaron Donald, who might separate Joe from Burrow. And then you have no... He might look like an 85 Bear where they knocked out 75 different quarterbacks. And they peopled all of Forest Lawn in L.A., the cemetery in L.A. Here's all your Hollywood celebs and all your all Hollywood headstones. But I just see what the Bengals have done. And maybe I'm thinking just as a journalist, as a guy in a previous life where I root for stories. I don't root for teams. I root for stories. The Bengals are a far bigger story. And let's imagine that Matthew Stafford does what I think he's going to do in the fourth quarter. He's going to throw that interception. Matthew Stafford, it will be quickly brought up that his center, when he played football in high school, you know.
I do. His center in high school?
His center in high school.
Do I know him?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Guy named Clayton Kershaw.
Wow, really?
And Stafford was Kershaw's catcher in high school.
I see. I knew they went to the same high school. I did not know that was the situation.
Yes. So it's like, wait, didn't Clayton Kershaw have this whole thing? Now, eventually, he won. But for so long, it was the whole, really, it was the Matthew Stafford story in baseball. So that's the way I see it coming down. And that's my one prediction.
My prediction now? Is that where
pain.
We're
going?
Well, yeah, pain.
How did we blow the Mr. T cut?
If I think that my gut tells me it's not going to be close. And I think that the Rams defense, because in Ryan Horvath, just in the last segment of Inside the Clubhouse, brought this up, like when he was trying to figure out this game betting wise. And you go back to teams that the Bengals faced that were able to pressure Burrow without blitzing him, and they struggled. And the Rams can pressure without blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be able to. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd are going to be able to get to Joe Burrow without blitzing.
Leonard
I think is going to be the difference.
MVP.
Oh, my
Justifying
God.
Justifying Ryan Pace. Bring back Ryan Pace. Look.
Hey. That would be incredible. Leonard Floyd. You know, I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to call it, and I'm going to make the bet tomorrow. Leonard Floyd for MVP. He's going to get, tackles.
Plus 5,000. What is that?
Well, that's the thing is even if Leonard Floyd is the obvious MVP, because who was the last non-quarterback MVP?
Von Miller was
the last one, right? And he had an astounding game, and they had a quarterback who could barely throw more than 10 yards at that point.
Whether it's Leonard Floyd or maybe Von Miller again, or certainly Aaron Donald would be of all the defensive players, he would be the likely choice.
Of course. Or
maybe
Jalen Ramsey.
They're going to have to score. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey with a pick six. They're going to have to score. And that's how they do it instead of a quarterback, I think, or instead of Cooper Kupp.
That would...
Leonard Floyd is I could see that Super happen. Bowl MVP.
No, I can feel it right now. 5 to 10 tackles, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown. I'm calling... That's going to be Leonard Floyd's line tomorrow. And it's not going to be because he was creating the pressure. It's because Aaron Donald and Von Miller were collapsing the pocket and he was cleaning up.
Right, because Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks were doing all that work and Leonard Floyd just picked up the, yeah.
Well, that's what Leonard, well, that is.
Uh-huh. You give him credit for being opportunistic.
Oh, look, I think I always thought that Leonard Floyd was always good here. He just wasn't the guy that they drafted him in the top 10 to be. Yeah, he had some injuries, but he turned himself into a pretty good all-around outside linebacker.
When he got away from Matt Nagy's coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And he's, look, again, he's fine. He's a good addition to a already good defense is what he is. And that's why he's thriving in L.A.
Well, yeah, when you only have to play third fiddle, you're not expected to be a top 7 pick. He's Trash Band. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We have a text here. Our text line, by the way, is 312-644-6767. Same number as if you were to, like, in a galaxy far, far away. a long time ago, people would call a sports talk radio show. It doesn't happen now. And by the way, we're going to, that a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we're going to go back to revisit that later on. But a texter says, just baked up. I know Grody is off. Why does Dave Baum sound weird? Welcome. So you're ready for the Wake and Bake Club halftime show tomorrow. There's Snoop. They were talking about it. Do you know how they interviewed him? Where we have the famous cut from Grobber saying, no, over here, Madonna. Yeah, that right?
Yes.
We have that while they interview the halftime act. And they're talking with Dre. I just call him Dre. You can call him Doc if you want. And on stage is the interview.
Hi, Madonna. Over this way here. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So.
That's so good.
As what do you do to get ready? As if I were talking about training. What do you do to get ready for the show? First of all, I think, like we discussed last week, they must have pre-recorded it because they're not going to give Snoop a live mic. Even though he's had a live mic on Kings hockey games, he's a huge hockey fan. They've mic'd him up, and I don't know if they needed a 7-second delay. But they asked him, how do you get ready for this? And Dre was talking, well, I'll get some sleep. They were all talking about getting some sleep or making sure they've sort of worked out or at least got some exercise in so they feel they can pull it off. And then somebody says, and we all know what Snoop does.
Smoke weed every day.
Damn. You know what? Can't recommend that for everybody, but it's always worked for him, hasn't it? All right.
You made a career out of it.
Yeah. Good for him. Look, Wake and Bake Club, that's our halftime show tomorrow. So we will take a break. And when we come back, as if Trash Panda wasn't impassioned enough about discussing the Super Bowl and how it doesn't even sound like to him it's going to be a game, we're going to let him, you know what, we should play Soldier Boy coming back. Do we have that? We have Soldier Boy?
I believe we do. We should.
You should. You should just open up a can of Santa's rectum on all the people who didn't vote Devin Hester into the Hall of Fame, and we'll just let you at them. At 11:40, we'll talk Bears football coordinators with Odyssey's man about the Midwest, Bon Vivant, PR man for PR director, PR strategist for Rocky Words. He's Cam Ellis. But for now, we're Saturday Suckage, but you already knew that. The Wake and Bake Club. Our halftime show is tomorrow. We are Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Adam Vinatieri has it on the tee. The Colts in all white. The Bears, navy blue and white. You know, white numerals are about ready to go.
By the people in the stands, they don't need seats today because they're all standing.
Vinatieri on the approach platform. Popping here in Miami. It sails to the far side around the 8-yard line to Hester. Under it and to the middle with the 15 to the 20. Breaks free of the 25 to the 30. To the outside. 40. Midfield. 40. 30 of the Colts. 20. 15. Hester 5. Oh! Touchdown Bears!
Well, that's it. That is the Bears Super Bowl highlight since Ditka got carried off the field and Buddy Ryan got carried off the field on January 26, 1986 in New Orleans. That's it. There's your highlight. There's your Bears highlight from the Super Bowl since 1986 during the glorious McCaskey ownership. And that's it. Courtesy of Jeff Joniak calling it, Tom Thayer, a frequent guest on our show, groaning and cheering and going all Ron Santo, and Devin Hester ran it back, and he should have been able to run right into the Hall of Fame on the voting Thursday, but no. So you go ahead and open up a can of Santa's rectum, Trash Panda, and just talk about this whole thing, which grates on you. Maybe the greatest. He might have been the single greatest athlete doing what he's doing in your sports lifetime.
I would, well, with the exception of MJ, like if you're considering the fact that...
Are you old enough to know who Michael Jordan is?
Yes, I do remember him.
Do you know playing. That he played on a team before the Wizards?
Vaguely. Yes, okay. I do recall. All right. So, but yeah, with the exception of MJ, and I would maybe Peyton Manning, who I think was just in a, like an unbelievable, played quarterback on a level that still people don't play it.
Oh, you only like him because of the Saturday Night Live.
Well, and there's also commercial. That. And so I'll also preface this whole conversation by saying that I realize that us as Bears fans are biased, but I think we can be objective in the fact that he did his job as a returner, like you're alluding to, better than most, if not all, professional athletes since the year 2000. And you look at the Hall of Fame class, certainly. Like, let's take all the other athlete conversation out. Look at this Hall of Fame class. A lot of these guys are deserving and should be in there. Tony Boselli, I think, is a worthy, really good, really awesome, like, left tackle for the Jags. Absolutely worthy. Leroy Butler should have been in sooner, probably.
He invented the Lambeau leap.
Yeah, see,
he was the first to do that. You get in for stuff like that,
exactly,
in my world.
And, you know, Bryant Young, great. Richard Seymour, I thought, could be in eventually. But this year, he's getting in over DeMarcus Ware, who is someone that I think we are losing in this conversation with us as Bears fans talking about Devin Hester. DeMarcus Ware should have been in, too. He absolutely should have been in. He had a better career than Richard Seymour, and we were talking in the break that Richard Seymour won Super Bowls. Oh, cool, cool. You won Super Bowls with Tom Brady. Great. Good for you.
No, he won Super Bowls with Adam Vinatieri, not with Tom
Brady. That's true. Yes, exactly. But Devin Hester was the best at what he did by a significant
margin.
Nobody's
even second. Nobody is even second.
There is no second. He's the top 10, and you start the conversation from there. So not only is he just considered the best, he has the numbers to back it up. He broke Deion Sanders' return record. He was so dangerous that teams would stay up. I mean, what they could have done is just talk to opposing coaches. Talk to Green Bay's special team coach in the late 2000s and early 2010s and ask him.
Minnesota's.
Yeah, or Minnesota's. And ask them what it was like preparing twice a year to face Devin Hester. Ask the Denver Broncos the mistake they made in 2007 where they were the last team that defiantly kicked to Devin Hester. The last one. Without it being a mistake. They were the last team that said, we're going to kick it to him.
Uh-huh.
And what'd he do? He took
two
kicks
back. Well, that was Tony Dungy's thinking. And said, you know what? He woke up that day. We're confident. We're going to kick to him. We're going to shut him down. And then we'll take the soul right out of them in the Super Bowl.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
Oops. Because every team that dared challenge him got beat. Every time. Mm. And if they would have continued challenging him, he would have had double the returns.
The interesting thing about this class that does not include Devin Hester is, as you named, four players were voted in whose job it was to get three and outs, right? Their job and their job was to force punts. Their job was to change field position. Well, guess what? When the Bears defense forced a punt, it didn't just change field position. It changed games because they had the best ever. And the galaxy brain voters of the Hall of Fame just don't connect dots that way. I still think they look at kickers and punt returners as not real football players. There is such a bias there in whatever presentation there is. They don't understand the concept of putting the best in there. Everything you said about changing game plans, changing thoughts, changing field position, I'd rather kick out of bounds then try to tackle a guy we don't think we can tackle.
There was a deep dive study, and I know we got to get to the break here, but real quick, there was a deep dive study done about the fact that the Bears, when they had Devin Hester, for whatever years it was, had markedly better field position on punts than every other team in the league. It was like, on average, 2 or 3 yards per punt they gained in field position, and it's because of Devin Hester.
Check out the big brain on those Hall of Fame voters. All right, we'll check out Cam Ellis's brain on the Bears. They introduced their coordinators. What did he hear? What did he think? And where do we go from here? I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're in the Missing Mark Grody Foundation, which sucks. But then that's what Saturday Suckage is all about. He's Trash Panda. He's got whatever Trash Panda did. He wakes up each morning as a Trash Panda and chooses chaos. And we're happy for it. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Try to establish that identity, or, you know, we're established a culture first, but then we're going to dive into this identity, right? That's going to be driven by the personnel, the coaching staff, and we're going to become something. There's not one specific answer to that right now. We have to dive into what everybody does best, right? And it starts with the quarterback, right? This is a quarterback-driven offense. So the things that the quarterback position does well, that's going to be the driver of who we are. And then we're going to marry that to what the other guys on the football field do well. I mean, that's the purpose of the offense coordinator, right? To dive into what the people do well, what they do best, and then build the offense around that.
That, your new Bears offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, the great Getsy. And what a refreshing change that presents to Bears fans if you're able to grasp the idea of a coach being flexible and a coach actually coaching the players in front of them and the team in front of them, the talents in front of them.
Novel idea.
I've not trash panned. I don't know where we have really, how far back do we have to go to consider somebody like that in this clown college that
on the offensive side running of the ball?
Yeah.
Mike Ditka, maybe. It's been a while.
Yeah, where he'd already ripped the clipboard out of Greg Landry's hands or Ed Hughes' hands, and oh my God. So it is such a basic thing, and yet we were bereft of it watching the Bears founder around and kick and scream and coming off a coach who demanded that his scheme, it's magic, it's the magic scheme, and he has a handful of magic beans because he once had cheeseburgers with an ice cream with Andy Reid. It's like, wow. And then you hear Luke Getsy talk. So we know what we think about what Luke Getsy said. And again, it could just be talk. We will see. But we will go to the Scores Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And welcome back to the show, Odyssey's bon vivant, man about the Midwest, football expert, and PR man for Rocky Wirtz. And he is Cam Ellis. Cam, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. So the Bears introduced our coordinators, and Luke Getsy came on, and you know, we heard him say things, but then again, we also heard Ryan Pace say, you know, a lifetime ago that we want to draft a quarterback every year, and the only time he did that was when he could overpay and put the Bears in draft capital jail. So what did you hear? What do you believe? What was good? What was bad?
I thought it was weird that, like, it would be awkward to answer to hear "Welcome to Chicago" 14 times in a row. Like, that would be an awkward first way to start a press conference. I thought it was fine. You know, like, it is, we're so football starved already, even though the Bears stopped playing like a month ago, that, you know, of course people are going to go, you know, they're going to parse through every sentence and go, this was different than Matt Nagy, this was better than Matt Nagy. And like, yeah, I do agree that the general idea that Getsy was talking about sounded better to where the Bears are than what Matt Nagy was sort of saying the last couple of years. But like, you're sort of right. At the end of the day, like, it's all fun and games right now. And, you know, you can build an offense around the skills of a player all you want, but if the skills of that player are not, you know, particularly good, it doesn't really matter. So it was not a disaster. And I think when it comes to offseason Bears press conferences, like, that is a check mark box in its own right. So we'll just say not a disaster and we'll move on from there.
I agree. That's a good bar that we have to have here in Chicago. Yeah. Not a disaster. Yeah.
You set the bar at the height of a curb.
Exactly.
We're at the gutter and we've set it at barely above a gutter.
Maybe someday go ahead, Cam.
I was going to say, we cleared the gutter already, so that's a great first step.
Super.
Baby steps forward. So did you, Cam, think it was weird at all that especially the two main coordinators, with the exception of the special teams guy, Richard Hightower, did you think it was weird that they almost at times seemingly refused to be specific on players, and they seemed extremely general throughout the entire press conference?
Yeah, I got that vibe as well. I don't know if I would react. I don't know if my reaction was to think it was weird, although I did sort of note that and saying, like, oh, that is sort of an oddity. I think they're just playing it safe. You know, while I don't think that there is this very dramatic, you know, tear down and rebuild coming, I bet there are probably some players that the last organization was way higher or lower on than this one is. And I don't think they want to get boxed into, you know, a 700-word explanation about how a specific player is good, and then all of a sudden, you know, 2-3 weeks later, he's traded or cut. So I personally would have liked to hear more specific details, just because I think that that is a good way to answer a question and a good way to sort of endear yourself off the bat. But I don't necessarily think they care about that, so to speak. And so it didn't surprise me. But yeah, I would have liked to hear a little more player specific detail if it was up to me.
We're talking with Cam Ellis. You can catch him on Odyssey.com. He is writing about football up and down the Midwest, all around. And we are here on Saturday Suckage, and we're happy he joined us. It was apparent from the moment that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus introduced themselves to Chicago, they really didn't want to say Justin Fields' name. They talked about the quarterback position, and that seems to have continued as Trash Panda asked and you answered his question. And they don't really want to talk about individuals. And the first thing I thought of was what the Cardinals did, where they got rid of the quarterback they drafted early, and they went after Kyler Murray. And I'm not saying, the Bears don't even have a number one draft pick, or first round draft pick this year, but that kind of approach, keeping hands off, they don't seem. Are they losing anything by not embracing Justin Fields the way everybody around here wants to embrace him? Or do they see a real problem with him as a football player? Because first of all, he's a turnover machine. He can't hold on to the ball. He fumbles a lot. And then there are the interceptions. And whatever you want to blame it on, he was the guy at that position making those mistakes. How do you judge what the current regime, the new people at Hallis Hall, are saying or not saying by not saying his name until specifically asked about him?
Yeah, it is not what I would have expected. I'll phrase it that way. I don't want to sound the alarm yet, because I do think that there's just a seemingly different vibe to this organization, both, you know, how they operate, but also how they communicate, which I think is not an important part of this job. So I think it's a little bit weird. I don't think it's a problem. I think they maybe truly just don't have a hugely great sense of what they have yet. You know, they can watch tape all they want, but I don't think, you know, I think we can all say that we can sit here and say that last year is not how you operate Justin Fields in an offense. And so, like, while it's good to see his reps, it's a little bit hard to scout how good he can be in a offense that was as abysmally awful as it was last year. So I don't think it's anything to read too far into. You know, if you get into the spring and into the summer and there's still this sort of weird gray area to talk about, then I go, okay, that's weird. But I think right now they're just taking it very sort of steady across the board. We're not going to get too far into specifics about a player, just because that is not positioning them well in regards to both moves they want to make and then, you know, moves they want to make with other teams. So I wouldn't worry yet, but I do think it is a little bit weird that he hasn't been embraced quite as much as I thought we were all expecting.
One more on Getsy before I do want to touch just a little bit on Williams, the defensive coordinator, Cam, but what did you take out of when Luke Getsy was asked about what he learned from coaching Aaron Rodgers and working with Matt LaFleur? Because I know that there's a lot of Bears fans out there who have a concern that Luke Getsy on paper might look fine, and, you know, the Packers offense was awesome, but how much of that was Aaron Rodgers, and how much did Luke Getsy actually have to coach Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't want to sit here and say that I know specifically, you know, what routes were great because of Getsy and Rodgers, because that is not, well, I don't, basically. But what I will say is that it, from everything you hear out of Green Bay, this offense, the offense that Getsy ran, clicked in a way that it hadn't ever before for Rodgers. And I think if maybe that doesn't necessarily translate to what Justin Fields can do, although I think a lot of it, and most of it does, but I think it speaks to his ability to, you know, come into a career at that level. Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't have to do anything differently at that point, right? And so, like, to be able to reach someone like Rodgers and get the most out of him while he was already at his peak, I think speaks to Getsy's ability as a teacher and as someone who can make Justin Fields grow in the sense of knowing the whole game. And so, well, I don't know. Yes, a lot of the talent, a lot of the production is Aaron Rodgers is really good, and that is that shouldn't be short-sold. But I do think there's something to be said about how Getsy was able to bring Rodgers, you know, 5-10% more out of him at that level of his career, and I think that speaks to the type of teacher he is.
Before we let you go, Cam, Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, said the Bears have a lot of good football players going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and playing the cover 2. And, well, we have a lot of good football players who are going to play football. Football coaches use the word football a lot because they say football, 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 football. Who's going to be the football player who is a 3 technique? We'll play Les's description of that later. Who's going to be the football player who plays Lance Briggs? And is it Roquan Smith being Lance Briggs or Roquan Smith trying to be Brian Urlacher? And whatever happened to Eddie Jackson? And the Bears don't seem to have the right football players in the right football positions for the football scheme they're going to play on the football field next year.
No, not, when you put it like that, no, you're right. I don't think it, like, you know, like everyone has pointed out on Twitter immediately afterwards, like base schemes aren't really a thing anymore. Like they are in technicality, but you don't play in base schemes a lot and you rotate out a lot. So, yeah, I mean, does it mean that the front might look a little different than we thought it was going into the offseason? Maybe. But, yeah, I don't of all the problems the Bears have on their plates, I don't think switching base defenses is really a huge one. You know, I do think that there are probably individual cases where you go, oh, like that might be great. And like, oh, Roquan Smith, that middle linebacker, that could be cool. But, you know, it's going to be like, they're still players. They're going to be in different formations. Like they're in nickel a lot. They're in dime a lot. Like it is the least, people should not be worrying about this. That's what I'll say. Like, I think that if you're going to find a way to sort of get out of Bears anxiety for a little bit, a good place to start is not worrying about switching defensive schemes.
Okay, well, we're going to mark that tape, and then we're going to bring it back, and then we're going to see, and we'll go from there. All right, we appreciate it. Cam, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Cam Ellis, Odyssey.com. We are an Odyssey station. We're proud of the Odyssey. We're going to take a break. Mia, we're in the Missing Mark Rohde Foundation. We need him because there was like a break in the wiener circle. The brick-throwing perp changed his look and shaved and whatever it was after the videotape. And then it was like, oh, my God, we need Grody here to tell us he stole a Provasic.
Unlock me! Unlock me!
And we don't have him here. So it's me and Trash Panda. So Trash Panda, we have Super Bowl commercials coming up. And then there was something this week that made me cry. I just got all teared up over it. And and there was a more trolling of Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes. We have much to discuss, and we have our version of what Mark heard. Just because Mark's not here, we have what Mark heard. But we have a couple hours to do that. Next hour, we'll talk with Evan Altman at 12:20 Cubs Insider. We'll talk about how they want more money from you potentially, and at 1 o'clock, Danny Parkins. And he'll find out, he will tell you what bets he will make on the Super Bowl. And we have some props for him, so we'll go from there. In the meantime, I think we should do what Mark heard, because it was really a classic thing. And then Les is going to explain the 3 technique, because the Bears really need that. This is Saturday Suckage. You knew that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.